We'll trickle in. Good? Yeah? Okay. All right, we good?
Yep, it's going.
All right, I'm going to call to order our June board meeting on June 12th. I wrote down May 12th. That was awesome. All right, we'll start with recording attendance and guests. Nick Bauscher.
Tyler DeHulst.
Samantha Shoup.
Steve Ballard. Also at Rojas.
Spencer Adams.
Libby Dean.
Terrell Young.
We're waiting for a couple people. Has everyone reviewed the minutes from our April board meeting?
I motion that we approve the April 18th, 2019 minutes.
Aye.
All right. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? All right. Motion passes. We will also approve the minutes from our directors meeting, our emergency board meeting last Wednesday on 6-5, June 5th.
What I can't bring that up. What does that say? Does that just say, I can't bring it up.
You
want to
read it?
That's all that it says?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, we entered closed session, exit okay. Closed session. We voted for administration plan.
Sorry, I motion that we approve the open board of directors meeting on June 5th, 2019.
I second the motion.
All those in favor?
Aye.
And all those opposed? All right, motion passes. We will now pass off to finance for financial review.
All right. So, I believe everyone, if you don't have access to it, I do have extra copies of the budget. So, something else you want one. So, basically what we want to accomplish today, giving you a background for those that haven't been through this process. Each year we, at this time, will approve next year's budget, and what we'll do is also approve a final version of this year's budget. And so we'll go over this year's budget first, just kind of give you an idea of where we were at the end of May, and then what we felt like was a good forecasted amount to capture the remainder of this year, which will in a large part just include June, but there are certain expenses like salaries and benefit expenses that will capture a couple more months just because of the way those agreement terms are set up. So we're going to pull those back into this fiscal year. So if we look at the overall summary, you'll notice that we are in the yellow for the most part. There are a couple areas that are in the red. Federal funds, you'll see we've received 70% of those, and we have more requested than we just haven't received. And so the key there is that we request those by the end of June. Even if we don't receive them, we do. We can still count it in this fiscal year's budget. So that's in the works there. As far as ratios go, you'll notice our days cash on hand, that's at 118. Our operating margin is at 4.6. That is lower than what we were hoping for. We wanted to have that 5%. It's still attainable. Just because we're at 4.6 doesn't necessarily mean that's where we're going to end up. One thing that we saw this year from last year's budget is when we got to this point, we started truing up each of those line items. We were a little too optimistic as far as trimming them back, and so it looked nice, but there were a few that went over that forecast amount and triggered one of those nasty letters from the state just wondering why our expenses exceeded our budget. And so what we looked at this year was not necessarily trimming it to hit a goal, but a realistic forecast that would keep us safe from going over, realistic, but also not padding it too much, trying to find that happy medium there. So I think we did a good job of that. I do think there's going to be savings in there. I don't think we're going to necessarily end up at that 4.6. Hoping still closer to that 5%. So overall, we're doing good. There were some line items we felt like we were completely done as far as the expense side goes, so we did put those at 100%. And then there's some that we tried to do our best estimate on, and left ourselves a little. We set it on the set of caution when it came to those. Are there any questions as far as this year's budget goes and what you're approving?
Questions?
So I don't know if you want to do the approval now or if you want me to touch on next year's budget and then approve both. They do have to be separate motions and approvals, but you can do it.
Is it we call it the year-end budget, or we just call it?
Yeah, you can call it, FY19 final budget.
So I make a motion to approve the FY2019 final budget.
I second the motion.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, motion passes. Next year's budget.
All right, so looking at next year's, this legislative session was very, very nice when it came to funding from the state. We did see a 4% increase in the regular school programs, K-12 funding. So that is weighted on, or that's funded on this current year's average daily membership, so enrollment, but it is weighted per grade. And so it's not, there's a bit of a calculation that goes into that. But you can see it's roughly 105,000 more than what we saw this year. Another big increase was early, let's see.
What's our enrollment right now?
1069.
Yeah.
For next year?
Oh, we're budgeting on 1,071. So yeah, we do have a bit of wiggle room there, but yeah, we saw an increase in the charter school local replacement as well, about 177,000. We did see a pretty big decrease when it came to flexible allocation. So one thing that they did last year is they gave a pretty good WPU increase. However, they split that percent increase between that regular school programs and the flexible allocation, just so they had made it easier for them to take away, which they ended up doing. So you'll see that dropped about 98,000, which hurts, but between those other two and with the addition of, let's see, where did it go? TSSA, that's 146,556 dollars that is just new money. It's a new funding source that they provided schools. It's ongoing, and it allows up to 40% of it to go towards salaries as long as you're below the state average when it comes to salaries. So that's a great great piece that we saw. And then we saw also a big increase in digital teaching and learning. We didn't receive that this year. Originally we thought it was going to be around 30,000, and then we received the actual funding amount and it ended up being just south of 65,000. So overall, a big big increase in funding as far as the state funds go. We looked at each of the expense side of things. Salaries, we're working on implementing a pay schedule, so that's incorporated in here as well. Benefits, we've looked debt, increase to retirement, which obviously if there's increases to salary, it's directly related to that, and Social Security. So we've really looked at each of the line items, gone through and found ways to save in some, and looked at new things that we wanted to incorporate this next year, and made sure that fit within the budget as well. And so overall, with all those changes, we are above. That's another thing. With the S&P review this last year being put on a stable outlook, we felt like it was safe at this point to bring that goal as far as the operating margin down to 4%, a little bit easier to obtain, and being able to and give teachers raises and put in programs that we've maybe been holding off on in the past. And so we do have a goal this year of 4%, and right now our budget is above that still. So I mean, we have a goal of $373,607 to be on the bottom line. Right now, with our forecast for next year, we're at $375,645. So we're right there, but we are saving even a little bit more. So what we're again approving is FY20 budget on the far right column. We're really looking at total revenues and total expenses, that sort of thing. Any questions as far as that goes?
I make a motion to approve the FY20 initial budget.
I'll second the motion.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? All right. Motion passes.
And then I just wanted to touch on one more thing. I think it was last meeting, there was questions surrounding Amy's departure and how that affected the S&P review. It's not, what's the correct verbiage here? So it's not considered a material event, so it's not something that we necessarily need to disclose at this time. It is something we'll mention when that review happens later on this year, as far as her leaving. Since we are on a stable outlook, that one event won't be deemed enough to make us unstable or downgrade us in any way. So it's nothing to be too concerned about as far as the S&P and the bond rating goes. But yeah, we'll definitely disclose it when we have that review, but it's nothing to be worried about.
When do we get reviewed for the S&P?
I want to say it was around April.
All right, next we have the early literacy plan.
All right, if you want to open the attachment, I'd like if it's okay to kind of walk you guys through it, just page by page. This was truly a team effort. We started drafting it actually prior to Amy's departure, and Sam brought up a couple things that I'll discuss with you guys. And then we revised it once we had our DIBLs, which is now called Acadience. So I did put both of those terms in here. So if you're used to DIBLs, that's how we measure reading proficiency. It's now called Acadience. Once we got those scores, we met as a group. All the admins here were present, as well as Beth Callison and a teacher, Lee Knapp in first grade, and Loretta Hill, who is our instructional coach and has 30 years of experience with literacy. Page one is a guide for our teachers as they're looking at their 120-minute literacy block about how much time they should be spending on each component of literacy. If you're not extremely familiar with teaching literacy, it is rocket science. It's very complicated and difficult, and there's a lot of moving parts, as you can see. So this is just something we kind of prepare for our teachers. This is customized to OPA. It's not just a cookie cutter from what the minute based on any other school. This is specific to us. Then there are some questions that we have to explain for the state. This used to be in what was called the UCCA, which was
Utah Consolidated
Application. So it wasn't public, but now it is, our answers to these questions. So we have to talk about core instruction. Our core instruction is not really changing. We're in year two of implementation of the Wonder System. There was one thing near the bottom. So Amy did attend the Principal's Literacy Institute, which was awesome because it gave her a lot of background in literacy. I have had that training just from the nature of being a literacy director. The idea of the Principal's Institute is it's kind of a crash course in literacy. I'll let you guys discuss this. We could potentially take that bullet out since Amy's not coming back. However, I think it would be, it could be prudent to leave it in because we may want our future director to get some background in literacy if they don't already have it. So having that in there could potentially be a talking point of we want you to get this. So I'll let you guys discuss that later.
Which number is that?
So that's number two, the very last bullet. There still will be...
Did you attend that with Amy that year as well?
No, I did not attend it. Casey is going to be meeting with the elementary CTTs. They're actually going to have their meetings either in his office or Terrell's, in some admin office, to review the data. So that's not going away. And I think the nature of having an interim year, I don't know that we necessarily need to totally take that out, but that's up to you guys. I'm happy to revise it.
Can we just remove the who attended the Principal's Literacy Institute during the 2017-2018 school year? Just take out what's in between the commas?
Yes,
yeah, and then the principal will meet.
Sure.
With each CTT.
Okay. Yeah, I can do that. Question or point three is about interventions. We are going to be adding the last. So under the first dark bullet, then there's a clear bullet, the Hagerty phonemic awareness. One thing that the state and OPA was realizing with Wonders is that phonemic awareness, which is basically your letter sounds, is not something that is hit really hard in Wonders. The way they do it is a little bit different. So you're learning the letters as you learn the words. You're not just doing a crash course in letters. And I think overall that's been good, but our teachers wanted something to supplement that. So it's very reasonably priced. I think it's $85 a grade level, which is cheap. In the educational world. So we'll be adding that. That's the major change in that area and in that question. Number four is mostly the same. This is where the first bullet under four I did change to reflect Amy's departure, required grade level data dives 3 times per year with at least 2 administrators, special ed teacher, building principal, and literacy director. And then the goals, these goals have been pre-approved by the state and the wording is based on the state. We had some different wording and we had some bullet points that we thought made it easier to read, but they wanted it in this format. So we wanted to have a different goal for each grade level. We do have certain grade levels that kind of struggle with, based on a lot of things, the nature of the test, turnover, just all sorts of things. But we didn't want to pinpoint one grade level having 3 goals. We just thought that was not productive. So we have a second grade goal, a first grade goal, and a third grade goal. We don't need to meet all of those, but we thought it would be nice to just kind of give each one something to focus on. So second grade is that students at or above benchmark from beginning of year to end of year will basically be maintained. So, and this is part of how the state wants it to be. They don't want kids dropping out of green, which we don't either. They come in at green, we want them to stay at green, even though the test gets quite a bit harder and has more components. So that's why that word maintain is a state word. And then we want to reduce the first grade students who are testing below benchmark, especially if they're yellow, we want to move them into green. And this, again, this wording is the state. We want to take 72% out of yellow into green or blue, which blue is the best. And then goal number three, this was about improving accuracy specifically, which was an area of concern we noticed at third grade. And then we have some real specific things we want to do with that. So a dyad reading, which is a really great 10 minutes a day strategy. And a lot of those other strategies in that third grade one are things we've already been doing. So,
but you guys, they're already doing that dyad reading, right? They're already doing that.
Not every teacher is. So we thought by writing it into the plan, we would give ourselves a little bit of ability to mandate that.
Okay.
Questions or points of discussion?
Right, motion to approve the early literacy plan.
I motion that we approve the early literacy plan for school year 2019.
I'll second the motion.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, motion passes. Something to talk about speech contract.
So this is something to talk about are the people who provided our speech services for several years. Last year, the contract fee was at $84,000, $89,000. I included all the statistics, and their load has increased significantly. And so they didn't raise our rates this year, which was nice, but they did raise them significantly. I feel like $109,000 is still a good deal for what they're giving us. We have speech therapists here every day, sometimes more, many times more than that. So,
how many kids are they servicing?
They were budgeted for 80 last year, and we increased. It all broken up in second and third graders.
Yeah, it looks like there's 31 in the first one, 30 to 34, 26, about 60. Looks like about 70.
Say that again.
So 31, 14, 26, about 65, 70. I'm just pulling that off of the documents, you guys.
I think they're budgeting for 80. So in the contract, the maximum number of students that they can see those hours is 80. If the increase is above 80, they will increase the price starting the following year. So that's April 1st, 2020. So they're budgeting for 80. We're being charged for 80.
But do you know how many we're at right now, did you say?
Exactly.
Approximately.
No, but they'll base this contract off of what we ended with last year. So we'll be right at 80 or close to it. Every year we kind of steadily increase.
Yeah.
Are there any other options, or have we gotten any other quotes?
No.
This was the cheap quote.
Okay.
Yeah. When we started, this was. And I think they've used the same kind of method of giving us a price each time.
I think we'll probably roll with it this year, but it might be worth at least looking into next year and then having a little bit of negotiating power just to say we got a couple other quotes and this is what we're at per kid and we like you guys, but don't raise the 30 grand.
I think Beth was looking at that possibly of having an employee like we've done with OT.
Okay.
Have an employee instead of having a contract.
Gotcha.
So.
It's a good time to review the contract.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, and you guys believe it is good, and you want it.
Yeah, they're terrific.
All right, cool. How's it going? Stephanie's here, and Casey showed up, and Stephanie showed up as well. Oh, there's Stephanie. All right, everyone good with that? Motion, entertain a motion to approve the something to talk about.
Make a motion to approve the something to talk about contract.
I second.
All right, all those in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Well, I didn't hear it, so I have to.
You're sustained. All right, AVID district director.
Okay, so we have an AVID program at the junior high, and up until this point, Ogden School District has been acting as our district director, which is something required by AVID to have that program. And they are no longer going to be servicing their charters. So in years past, they've had monthly meetings. We've just got a lot of support from them, and then this last year we have seen nothing of them, and so they're basically just like, we can't support you. So we have to have a district director in order to move forward with AVID, and so contacted them. It's basically the district director has to go to 5 trainings over the course of 2 years. It's $10,000 for the trainings, and then there's no recurring cost with AVID. Once we get a district director, they're there until leave us, and we'd have to do another one. But as far as AVID's concerned, we don't have to pay a yearly fee or anything to maintain that. So it's just a one-time $10,000. It may be split over 2 years. When I talk to them, all the trainings are going to happen between October of 19 and the summer of 2020. So I don't know if that means we have to pay the full $10,000 this year, or if it'll be split. But we have allocated it into our curriculum budget if it is all this year. And so just needed more approval to do that.
Is there someone in mind who would be the district director?
I'm sorry, what?
Someone proposed to be the district director, or would...
We've had some discussions about that. We have not decided on that yet.
I think we all really want to keep it. It's such a fantastic program. It's really towards our demographic. Debbie and I have both talked about how we would be willing to do it. My only concern with doing it is it's something that would take me out of the building for training. And she's kind of talked about potentially doing it. And another option could be to find a staff member who's, you know, currently part-time or working on it that way. But I think there is a lot of interest and willingness if you were to approve this.
We do want to make sure it's somebody that's not, you know, going to be here for a couple of years and then we have to start over. So that's kind of where we were looking at. And we are considering making sure we get someone who's got a little bit more stability with us. And the trainings really are the bulk of it. I mean, it is, and they're two-day, three-day trainings. There's 5 of them. So that, once you get through with that, it's not a huge problem. It's just a box we have to check. But we have about a third of our junior high students take AVID as an elective, and then we try to put that out into all the classrooms using some of the strategies, because they call them AVID strategies, but the AVID strategies are just good teaching practices, and you'll find them in any good strategy systems.
Yeah, kids strive to do it. For some reason, it gives a reason to do that. So the $10,000, is that included in the budget we just...
We have made sure there's enough in the curriculum budget to cover it.
Entertain a motion to approve, or does anyone else have any questions or points?
I make a motion to approve the funding for the AVID program for the following year.
I second.
Right. All those in favor? Aye. All those opposed? All right, motion passes. Leader in Me.
So we've been doing Leader in Me for the last couple years. Pretty good. We've had a teacher heading that up, and a lot of schools have a Leader in Me person that is just doing Leader in Me in the school. So having a teacher do it was pretty rough. I don't think we were getting as much out of it as we wanted. So we've got kind of some proposals to give this to a kind of a committee that has a little bit of time on their hands, and I think we've had a lot of excitement to do this in the school. So to continue that, it's $7,500 to continue that program, to be a part of it. it's we got Abbott in the junior high, which is really beneficial, and Leader in Me is really big here in elementary with Seven Habits. It's really become kind of part of the school. We want to continue to do that. With the new people at the helm of this Leader in Me program here at the school, I think we can take it a step further from where we've had. So a lot of our leadership comes from Leader in Me, our Eagle team, our Eaglets, all that stuff is with Leader in Me. So
are we still required to do any training with them, or are we completely separate from the corporation?
No, this is to be still part of that.
Right. This would include the coach, okay. And it also includes some trainings that we can send teachers to. That's all.
Because there has been some talk of previous board meetings about having someone internal be a coach. Is that something you guys are still looking at, or?
I've gone through that training. I'm the only one left, but three of us did go through their train-the-trainer program to give kind of the level one to people who are new. The only downside with that is, do you remember the price? Even though, like, I could train them, you have to, several hundred dollars just to get the materials for each participant, and that's above and beyond that.
And there's
price.
A recurring, to maintain that status of a train-the-trainer, there's a recurring cost, so we weren't sure if it was going to be cost-effective. But this, we did, in talking with everyone in conjunction with this approval, it does include some training opportunities for teachers.
So we pay $7,500 and we're certified Seven Habits. Is that what it is?
The banners get to stay up, basically.
Okay. So do we need that? Or do we feel we need that if we're already doing it?
If we want to do it, I think the way that it's meant to be done, to be successful, absolutely.
Okay.
Especially with, Sonnet Van Patten is the one that's been running it for the last couple of years. She's left. So that was a pretty big void with Leader in Me. So getting someone in there that can be trained and get through the school.
And we did it last year.
Yeah, we've done it for 4 years. Does that sound right?
It started the first year he was here. That's when we started it.
And that $7,500 was budgeted in as well.
In our charter with the state, we specify that we will do character development, so that kind of helps our charter requirements.
Builds a lot of leadership, and then they go into the junior high, and there's leadership in Abbott, Latinos in Action, the whole squad. So they learn about leadership.
That sounds good. We're going to see fresh blood in there then.
So you're thinking a committee just made up of several teachers, or are you?
Yeah, our idea is some specialist teachers. They don't teach on Fridays, so this will really give them something just to do and to really focus on together. They see all the kids, so it would be really nice. We see the kids every week, almost every other week. So.
Make a motion to approve the Leader in Me.
All right, all those in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, motion passes. Board training.
I forgot to even print one out for me, so you can see it, right? So I asked Susie Hinesley, our counselor, to put together this information. Our sexual education assurances and laws at the state require that you review statistics regarding teen pregnancy on an annual basis. So that's what this is. It goes through, as you say, the child sexual abuse. Most of this information is for the state of Utah. There's not a lot that's delineated to Weber County. That's just the information we were able to find. I thought one of the most disturbing things I saw was that the Ogden's average of teen births is 32 to 1,000, whereas the Utah's average is 15, and the national average is 18. So we are pretty high there, which kind of helps us understand our population a little better, I guess, when you start looking at some of the careers of our students.
I don't want you to have to do that. Looking at somebody's other programs.
Again, that's just for your information, for you to review those statistics so that we can teach help.
All right. Thank you for the information. All right. Reports, Academic Excellence Committee, Math Proficiency.
Well, is that coming or no?
That's not coming, so,
you know. She had some personal issues.
You've seen it. I can talk to it. You can talk to it. We've already discussed it a little bit. So Beth put some of these together. Actually, the first two are just the numbers, which then feed into the charts. So if you want to skip down to the third one, RISE Comparison, Special Programs.
Well, I think, can we look at the first one?
Yeah,
the first one I think is more, because you can see all the number of our students. So with the below is two or more 2 years behind.
Right.
Approaching is a year behind.
Yep. So how she's broken it down, and again, then this feeds into those charts. She's looked at our different federally protected populations and other groups. So she's got all the students, and then special ed students, then English language learners, and those are students currently receiving services. It's important to keep in mind, we have a lot of students who no longer receive services, but maybe just 2 years ago received services, so their academic language can be lower over time. And then low socioeconomic status, and then those in no special programs. So a lot of what we see in the charts look at RISE, iReady special programs, and then iReady comparison. So with RISE, you're looking at grade level proficiency. So it's a different kind of marker than what we get with iReady. We do struggle in math, and you'll see that if you open the RISE chart in 5th, 6th, 7th, and 8th grades, we are pretty much 0% proficient with our special education students in math, and that is something we absolutely need to change. What, in talking with Beth, we're looking kind of, this is a wildly ambitious goal, we probably wouldn't get to it next year, but we need to get between 10 and 16% proficient with our SPED population. She's my special ed guru here for backup, former special ed. So you can see that the students who don't have any special programs tend to do better, and then our low socioeconomic status. I actually felt like we do better with them than with our other federally protected classes. We do move those kids, and our ELs are in yellow. So with RISE, we do expect lower than with iReady. And if you toggle over to iReady, which is gonna be the fourth link down, iReady measures growth, not proficiency. So here we're looking at kids that moved up. I don't remember what she put into the chart, if it was, if they moved up like 2 grade levels or?
If they met typical growth.
Okay, if they met typical growth.
Yeah.
So typical growth is a measurement of how much they should be improving throughout the year, and then there's below, well below, typical, and above typical. So the good news here is we can see with our protected populations, and especially in some areas with SPED, we are seeing kids make pretty good growth. Particularly third grade is just knocking it out of the park, and by the way, they do that with reading too. And then seventh grade. Both of those grade levels, the math teachers had high fidelity to iReady. Now, we just have that anecdotally through admin observations. We're still working on pulling the actual fidelity reports to show how many minutes those teachers denoted to iReady. We could not get that from our iReady team in time, because it's not available to us as administrators yet.
I did talk to the seventh grade math teacher today, and he said he made sure his kids were on for an hour a week. And so, and yeah. Like, I just made sure they got that time, and it shows.
Yeah. So kind of going forward, what we've talked about as an admin team and then also with Beth is, first of all, with third grade, having them possibly do some CTT meetings with other grade levels of, hey, okay, what are you doing with math? Like, how can, without saying it this way to the teachers, how can we make second grade function a little bit more like third grade? And third grade is doing more small groups in math and a power hour structure, which Beth Callison wants to implement throughout the elementary as a support for special ed students next year. And then with our seventh grade, he is an amazing teacher and a great leader, and I think he will be able, when we present this data to the math team, they'll definitely see the impact that it made. With ninth grade, iReady is really only for very low kids. It only goes up to eighth grade. So they can use it in ninth grade to get kids up to grade level, but they can't really use it for ninth grade. And the final chart, was this an additional chart she added after we talked to her? Oh, this is the percent who were proficient on the iReady test as opposed to the RISE test. So that's the third.
We thought it looked, I mean, very similar on both of those.
Yeah.
So I thought that was a good indicator that iReady is going to give us some prediction ability.
So good news is I applied for a lot more iReady licenses than last year. Last year I just applied for intervention. This year I thought, shoot for the stars. When I got the grant application, I just asked for a license for every kid, and we got it for free from the state. So we purchased them last year. I think it was a grant or something that we had to pay. And so this coming year, we will not have to pay anything, and we will have that for all kids in their math classes.
We also have a math camp yesterday and today. Cammie Perry, specialists, put that together for a representative from every grade level, and they came up with some great ideas and strategies and lesson plans and things that they're ready to move forward. They were all very on board with the Power Hour idea and implementing that school-wide, and so we're excited about some things that they're developing moving forward. We also looking at we use Engage New York right now for a curriculum, and it gets great reviews up through fifth grade, and then it doesn't. And so we are looking at a curriculum for 6-9 for math, and we found one that we like, and we have budgeted for it, so we're looking at moving
forward. We've budgeted for a number which I will hopefully get them down to.
Yes. So
I just got the quote from them today.
Yeah, so we're on our way. The curriculum we found is the same company as Wonders, correct?
Yeah,
so
it's called Reveal Math.
Right. And it is not ready. They've just started developing it for K-5, but it's not ready yet. So even if we wanted to go whole school, we couldn't yet. And so that's a possibility to start with 6-9 this year and then move into K-5 next year. We're hoping to give the teachers a little bit more support. Elementary teachers, math is not usually their passion or their strength. And so we're just looking at ways to give them more support with that. But the ideas we have of restructuring some of our CTT meeting times, holding a little more accountable to their data, bringing it, reviewing it, will also help those math numbers.
Have any of the teachers gone out to get extra support on their own through like continuing education or anything like that?
Some do. Every once in a while we have math endorsement stuff come through, and we'll send that out, and we have some teachers who are interested, so we'll continue looking for that. We're also looking at some training, some better of a hybrid training option where the teachers will have some in-person training, but we can offer more online options to them, and we're looking at some things that will give them better support so they can get training in what they need, not just blanket training. So we have a lot of things going on trying to figure out how to get these math scores up, because we
Are you guys familiar with the Weber State does a teacher training program that for free for teachers? It's in the evening on Thursday nights. And one of their big focus this year is actually math skills, because they've had a lot of requests across the state, and it's free to all K-12 teachers.
Okay.
They'll feed them. It's like three, four hours on a Thursday evening. I think it's 3 hours on a Thursday afternoon. It's called the Teacher Twilight Series.
Because I don't know if my neighbor is a math professor with Weber State, and that's what he focuses on, is going out and doing supplemental training to everyone. I didn't know it was free for everyone, though. I will have to...
free for teachers, and they get relicensure points, they get a lot of materials.
They don't.
We've collaborated with them and done science stuff, but this year they've really focused, this coming year is really focused as math. So might be something, I can get you guys some resources for when they're doing math, if you can push it out to your teachers.
Required
or
get bonuses for those who...
Yeah, there you go.
Well, we can do the task force and look at that.
We asked teachers to take that the state did, and we were offering them an incentive for it, and then the state shut it down. So
we did get,
we got quite a bit of interest. Yeah, I mean, it was a small incentive, but it did help with participation.
And that's something that County Curry has been building on through the year, and she's gaining ground. We see movement.
We're hopeful.
Sam, anything else to add? No. As the committee chair?
No.
We need to keep pressing forward on it?
No, we'll see.
Okay.
We'll see.
So.
Well, we've only been with the PHNR for 3 years, so we're switching programs again. So it takes a little bit to start seeing the results from that for another year or two.
So best practices and program updates, and hoping teachers push it more.
And we're not abandoning Engage New York. Yeah, I mean, K-5 is still going to use it. It's just not great in 6-9. Well, there isn't a 9th grade. Yeah. So it's been difficult at best there anyway. So.
All right, anything else to add to that? All right. Thank you for the reports. Sounds like some good stuff, hopefully. All right. We will now entertain a motion to move into closed session.
I motion that we moved into closed session to discuss the reputation, character, or mental or physical health of an individual, but not his or her own professional competence.
I'll second that.
Laura DeHolst joined us, by the way. Thank you, Laura. All right, all those in favor by roll call vote. Aye, Nick Bowser.
Aye, Tyler DeHulse.
Aye, Stephanie Swiger.
Aye, Samantha Shoup.
Aye, Laura DeHulse.
Aye, Steve Ellery.
All right, we are now in closed session.